The first reading today is from Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what comes of our boasting? It is excluded by what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy Reformation Sunday. There was a 10-year-old boy named Roy. And Roy, if he liked anything, seemed to be getting into trouble. Roy was one of these kids that, even from preschool, the teacher would say, teachers get together, by the way, and they exchange how many bad ones you're about to get in the new year. It's a trade secret. And any time that they talked about the bad ones that were moving up, Roy was always mentioned in that group. Because if there was a way of getting in trouble, Roy could figure out how to do it. And his parents kept saying to him, "Why'd you do it, Roy? What's wrong?" He'd always stare at the floor, not answering his parents. And his parents would say, "You know we have to punish you for this." And he wouldn't answer at all. He knew that it would mean no TV, no dessert, and going to bed early, and having to stay home home after school for several weeks. But he never seemed to mind the punishment because he was never truly sorry for what he had done. One night, Roy's parents received a phone call no parent wants to get from the police department, saying that they have Roy in custody. He and a few of his friends decided to try to burn down the local school. Now that's one bad kid. "Dad, no matter what I ever did, I never tried that one." But Roy's parents went down to the police station, talked to the lieutenant, and they got custody of Roy. And on the way home, Roy sat between his parents, and he's thinking in his head, "I'm going to catch it for this one. They are going to lecture me forever and ground me for even longer than that." When they got home, parents put their jackets away, and Roy sat in the chair just as expecting, here's the barrage, it's going to start. And the parents said nothing until the mother turned and looked at Roy and says, "Don't you have homework to do?" He says, "Yeah, I guess so." So he went off to do his homework. He's totally perplexed. He tries to burn down a school, and his parents are not saying anything to him about it. So a little while later, the mother comes in, brings him a snack, and says, "We'll be in a little while to put you to bed." He's figuring, now I'm going to get it. When they come in to put me to bed, then they're going to yell at me. Parents came in, kissed him goodnight, put him to bed, turned the light off, and Roy just lay there in bed. He didn't know what to take of all of this. So Roy jumped up out of bed, ran to his mother's arms, threw himself in his mother's arms, crying, and he says, "I'm sorry, I don't mean to be so bad. I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Years of trying to get people's attention finally poured out of Roy. His parents loved him. They loved him dearly. They showed that love. But Roy never quite saw it that way, because Roy didn't see what he was doing was truly wrong. He felt sorry now for what he had done, and he realized all along the way his parents had been there loving him. Can you find yourself in the story? Are you Roy? Are you the parents? Are you both of them? Who are you? I can relate to Roy and the parents. I sin and I do wrong things, and I don't know why sometimes, why I do what I do. I want to be loving and forgiving to other people, and I want to be loved and forgiven by people. Now Luther, these truths concerning our own wrongdoing or being a sinner and being loved and forgiven by God are the cornerstone of our celebration of Reformation Sunday. Luther talked about everyone being a sinner and a saint at the same time. We are a saint because we are redeemed children of God, but at the same time, we are sinners who break the law of God. Paul writes in Romans, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, that the whole world may be held accountable to God, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." The law convicts us of our sin, and the law I'm talking about is the Ten Commandments and the civil law of the Old Testament. We know we break God's holy law, and we should feel guilty about it. We should feel bad about it. In Romans 8, Paul writes, "I can still will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is which I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me." No matter how good we see ourselves, or perhaps even how arrogantly we go about sinning, the law is a mirror to our sins. It shows us exactly who we are. A mirror does not lie. So unfortunately, when I look in the mirror, all those gray hairs are real. I try to convince myself my hair is jet black like it used to be. It's not. The mirror proved that to me many, many times over the years. That's what sin does when the mirror of God's law comes. It shows us exactly who we are. Sin always comes out front and center. The great Russian author Dostoevsky, one of my favorite authors, he wrote the book Crime and Punishment, if you happen to be aware of that one, tells the story of a young woman who found herself in hell and felt she didn't belong there. She couldn't bear the suffering and cried out in agony for the mercy of God. God listened and was moved with pity. He said to her, "If you can remember one good deed that you did in your lifetime, I will help you." Racking her brain, she thought of something. "I gave an onion to a starving neighbor." God produced an onion complete with a stem. The woman grabbed the onion. And God began to pull her up out of hell. But as she was being lifted up out of hell, her neighbors and friends grabbed onto her skirt, trying to get a ride also out of hell. She started kicking and screaming, trying to get them off her skirt. And in the process, she broke the stem off the onion and fell back down into hell. It's the irony that our self-righteousness, the very good works that we might depend upon, prove to be the thing which drops us from grace into the fires of hell. Now, when we feel guilty for our sins, all is not lost. Luther realized this when he was reading through the book of Galatians and the wonderful gospel message there. that when we feel guilty for our sins, all is not lost. God rescues us with life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, they are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, through whom God put forward as a restitution by his blood to be received by faith. Through Christ we have salvation. God is now appeased. For Luther, that was the purest grace message he'd ever heard. God was appeased. Luther used to whip himself to whip the sin out of his own body. And obviously he couldn't do it. But then he realized God was appeased because of what Christ had done for him and what Christ has done for us. The gift of heaven is ours through faith and belief. And it's a gift given to us without distinction. Paul writes, this was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. It was to prove in the present times that he himself is righteous and that he justifies him who has faith in Jesus. This gift is freely given to all who feel their sinfulness, who acknowledge their positions before God. The gift of God is the life-giving blood that we need. It's sort of like the man who had a very rare type of blood, and he was donating it at a hospital because the hospital would call him up when they needed this very rare type of blood. And he looked out the window, and he saw another room where another patient was getting some of the very blood that he had donated. And he realized that he was saving this other man's life. The other man would never know who he was, and there was no way to ever repay him for the gift of life that he's given us. We can never repay God for the gift of life that he has given us, but we do have a relationship with him. How great is the gift of life, and how great for us who have received it. And the gift of life begins at an early age. It begins with our salvation. One of the things that Luther railed against his religious enemies was their stance on holy baptism. It's where our journey begins with our walk with God. Many misunderstand baptism. They see it as the way of salvation or the beginnings of a process to enter salvation. Since it's Reformation Sunday, it's only fitting that I pick on the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church teaches that baptism only forgives you of your original sin. Not the sins you do afterwards, after your baptism, just your original sin. Then you have to earn your way into heaven and pay for your sins along the way. Luther railed against this. He says, no, baptism forgives all of your sins. Now, once baptized does not mean always saved. We can go astray, we can go off the road, and we can drift away. Unless we repent, salvation will not be ours in the end. Baptism is not a magical ticket to heaven, and it doesn't mean that we are automatically saved. In a magazine called the Lutheran Standard, and I don't know if it's our synod or the other one, but an article about baptism says, the author writes, what worries me are the Lutherans who seem to think that baptism is all that's required for salvation. That may sound weird to you, but I know I'm not imagining this problem. Too many people have mentioned the same notion to me for it to be a figment of my imagination. I personally know how baptized Lutherans, who show no evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and even seem embarrassed to talk about the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, a gift that I consider the greatest ever given, says the author. Later on, he writes, he met a man whose wife was very devout, but he never attended church, never spoke about God, really had nothing to do with God. And this minister was talking to him, and the man got angry and says, what do you think, I'm a pagan? I was baptized once. Being baptized is not like a polio shot. Once you get it, you're immunized from sin, death, and hell. excuse me. It does no good to tell an unrepentant and unbelieving person, you have been baptized, giving the impression that God's grace somehow will make everything right. Now, I am no judge at all of anyone's faith or salvation, but do you value your relationship with God? Does Christ's salvation daily affect your life? You know what? If everybody, I'm preaching to the choir here, but if everybody answered that question, we'd have chairs down the sides of the pews here. Maybe salvation or faith is not that important to some people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor, who Hitler, right at the end of the war, made a very special endeavor to make sure Bonhoeffer did not survive the war. And within days of the end of the war, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hung. But he wrote in The Cost of Discipleship, "It is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate." On the other hand, he writes, "Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is the grace because God did not reckon his son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God." Costly grace is the Word incarnate itself. Now, it comes, the next important word is the word repentance. God never rejects a broken and contrite heart. Yes, we are sinners, but through repentance, God forgives us of all of our sins. That's what makes us different than the non-Christian world. We realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Luther, of blessed memory, realized that the church needed to get back into understanding what true grace was all about. Costly grace compels a person to follow Christ. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So how's it with you? Is grace costly or cheap? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.